Welcome, friends, to Truth Unveiled, where the mission and focus of the New You Ministry is to reveal what truth actually is that can only be found in God's holy word, the Bible. Our subject for today is Don't Look Back. Before we begin our subject for today, I invite you to join me now for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we begin our study, we invite the Holy Spirit to be with us. Give us eye salve that we may see your will for our lives. Help us to discern the truth in your word and to live that truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever considered country living? There is a time coming as we near the close of this earth's history when God's people would be safer to leave the cities. The big cities are becoming dangerous to dwell in. All one has to do is watch the news. Crime is on the increase, violence on every hand, and so on and on it goes. But the greatest danger of all is the very real threat of losing our children to the city influences. One of the greatest tragedies that could come into our lives is for our children to turn away from the truth, to seek pleasure and worldly enjoyment, and then to find that their salvation is actually in jeopardy. Now that's something that we don't want, is it? The Bible gives clear and solemn warning to those living in the last days. Jesus actually gives this solemn warning to every parent of every young person that has ever been named the name of Christ. Luke chapter 17 says, "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Now, Lot's story is a very terrible one. Now, this is a warning to those living in our day just before our Lord returns as well. Jesus is basically saying here, you who are living down in the last days, you had better sharpen up your memories. As the end gets near, it will benefit you to read all about Lot and his wife, especially Lot's wife. There are two important remembers that Jesus tells us to keep in mind here. Remember the Sabbath and remember Lot's wife. Yes, God is urging us to pay special attention to the experience of Lot and his wife, and he wants us to, especially in these days, to take notice of this unfortunate experience. First of all, let us take a look at Sodom. It was a city situated in a very rich and fertile plain. As a matter of fact, it was a great big oasis. It was actually called the Garden of Jehovah. Genesis chapter 13 says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." Lot chose to live in this city, for he was greatly attracted by the abundance of water, the beautiful surroundings, and lush growth. But it was selfish considerations that decided his choice. In Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 49 we read, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy." Pride, ease of living, and idleness. Idleness is the greatest curse that can fall upon man. Isaac Watts once made a statement that is so very true today. "For Satan finds some mischief still for idle hands to do." We see it right through the Bible. Great men such as David and Gideon, men who were truly great in action, fell into disgrace and almost lost the kingdom through idleness. Genesis chapter 18 says, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. I like this verse. It gives me great comfort. God does not act on hearsay. He makes a thorough investigation before he brings judgment upon people or upon an individual. And now we turn to Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Did you notice that Lot sat in the gate? In all probability, he was a judge or magistrate. However, there is no question that he was a person of authority, for we find that King David sat in the gate to show himself to the people. Now, there were quite a number of things that Lot showed in his character that were not particularly good traits, but one thing in which he did shine was hospitality. Paul even mentions it in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Oh yes, Lot was hospitable. There is no doubt about that. He was ever ready to help the friendless and the poor. It was something that he had learned from Abraham, and of course, it was part of his religion and his upbringing. I'm reminded of a quote of E.G. White in the book Conflict and Courage. Many a household, in closing its doors against a stranger, has shut out God's messenger who would have brought a blessing and hope and peace. What did the men of Sodom do when they realized there were two strangers in their midst? They wanted to molest them. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 5. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Terrible. These people were terribly corrupt. We may even say today that it is incredible that these men could be so corrupt and vile. But Jesus is saying here, you had better remember Sodom, because that is how it will be in the last days of this world's history. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 12 continues. Here are the two angels talking. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou there any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. The angels warned Lot, If you want to save your children, then you had better get out of here. And verse 14, And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Here is a warning message from God. What was the response? So used to the city and its evil inhabitants were Lot's children, that when Lot warned them of the impending destruction, it says he seemed as one that mocked. They could see no evidence of danger. They had good homes, they had good jobs, and every prospect of advancement. The environment of the city blinds men and women to sin, doesn't it? And it is a picture of the world today. Have you been warned of the impending disaster that is soon to come on this earth of ours? Are you warning others of this impending end? Found in God's Word. In every big city, this warning message is being sounded, but Satan has blinded the minds of men and women so that they will not listen and cannot comprehend. Lot thought to himself, My children will get a better education in the city. I will only have to work a 40-hour work week. My job is better than Abraham's of minding herds and sheep and goats. Now we can build a nice home and have all the conveniences of city life, and give our children every advantage possible. But at what cost? Lot should not have been in Sodom to begin with. Why? Because Sodom caused the ruin of Lot's children. 2 Peter chapter 2 says, And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now Lot was a good man, and the Bible says he was a righteous man. But Lot should never have been there in that wicked city. Probably Lot felt that he was a good influence being a magistrate. You can always find a good excuse for being in a place where you shouldn't be. Isn't that true? Do you remember when you began your walk with Jesus? Remember in your workplace when co-workers used all forms of vile language and profanities? You were shocked, weren't you? But year after year, did you find unconsciously that your attitude was changing? Did you become accustomed to it, and then it hardly seems to jar on your feelings? It happens, friends. It is simply human nature to be dulled into a lethargic response when we actually should be repulsed. Lot should never have been in Sodom, and now as he thinks of his beautiful home, his costly carpets, and all those things that he has worked and saved so hard for, all these soon will be burned. And then his heart aches for the children so soon to be lost forever. And this was hard for Lot, but this is more than a lesson for Lot. It is a lesson for you and for me. Are we building fine homes and laying up treasures in Sodom? Lot and his wife found it difficult to leave all their possessions behind. Lot lingered, undecided as to what he should carry with him as he fled. However, the angels manifested no concern for Lot's possessions at all. We are told that they pulled the four of them away by force. No wonder Jesus reminded us that we had better the experience of Lot and his wife, and that we are not caught in the same condition as they were. Again, human nature is that way, isn't it? Even a good man may become so infatuated with the world that he cannot tear himself away from it. Men who have been lost in a snowstorm have had that fatal numbness creeping up their limbs and experienced the temptation to surrender to what they now know is the sleep of death. They need someone to urge them on to a place of safety. Jesus is our safety, folks. Now back to Lot. Christ meets them outside the city. He told them to escape for their lives. The need for Christ himself to join the angels in their appeal to Lot suggests that he and his wife are even yet hesitant about leaving everything behind. Truly, you could say that Lot was a brand plucked from the fire. God calls Lot a good man, and yet here he is surrounded by evil and reluctant to leave it. It is a picture of you and of me in this corrupt old world today. If Lot had been allowed to tarry, it would have been his destruction. He might have decided to remain, but his only safety lay in the immediate and complete break with those things that are bound in his heart to Sodom. The question we must ask ourselves is, are we allowing our hearts to become so attached to Sodom that our only chance of safety will be torn away? I hope not, but it can so easily happen. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 17 says, "And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." God was going to test them out to see if they were devoted to Sodom or devoted to God, if they were grateful to God or otherwise. God was holding back the fires of Sodom just for Lot and his family at this time. God does great things for his people, doesn't he? He always has. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 18, "And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord." We find that Lot did not want to leave the cities. He did not fancy the prospect of living in the mountains. And that is what Sodom does. The more we fit into the pattern of this world, the harder it will be to flee when God sends the call. And what about Lot's wife? The sad thing is that Scripture tells us that his wife looked back. Why? Because her heart was back in that wicked city. Her friends, her children, her possessions, her thoughts. She was walking to the hills, but every step away from Sodom was agonizing for her. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. God turned her into a pillar of salt. What a lesson it is to you and to me. Our feet can be on the way to the kingdom, but our hearts can be with and in this world. It is a perpetual reminder and warning to those who would like to be saved, but are content to be halfway measures, who seem to forsake the world, but whose hearts are actually and truly and unequivocally still in the world. Then again, we find that Lot was a bad example to his wife. His influence was weak, and he lacked determination here. Greater firmness on Lot's part in heeding the angel's commands could very well have meant her salvation. Yes, she chose to die, rather than to leave Sodom. We are sorry for Lot's wife, but let us profit by her example. But why a pillar of salt? Salt in the scripture signifies incorruption, durability. God this to teach us not to forget it. It was to be an everlasting memorial. Remember Lot's wife. Three words, but what a message. There are Mrs. Lots today. Have you heard them? If my children are not going to be there, then I won't be there also. Or, my husband died an Anglican, my children are Anglicans, therefore I will die an Anglican, or any other denomination for that matter. This reveals base ingratitude. Mrs. Lot did not appreciate what God was doing for her, and of course, this type of attitude can be found among the men as well. God calls us out of Babylon. He expects us to obey His call. At the time of Christ, the pillar of salt was supposed to be still standing, according to Josephus, a Jewish historian. Whether it is still standing is doubtful, but the lesson still remains for us. Here we are, at the close of this world's history. Genesis chapter 19, the sun was risen up the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Yes, it was a beautiful day. The sun came up smiling. Everything promised to be a truly lovely day. Business opened up as usual. The shopkeepers swept up their shops and made them tidy, ready for business. The postman's whistle could be heard as he began his morning round. The children went off to school. The hotel bar started serving their liquor, and the customers were there with their idle gossip. The news soon spread. You know that old religious freak Lot? Well, he has been putting around a story that Sodom is going to be destroyed. Of course, you could hear the laughter for miles, but their laughter was short-lived. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Sodom was reduced to ashes. What once was a beautiful, fertile plain, well-watered, with luxuriant growth, became a barren, desolate, desert place. What a lesson for you and me. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. And Jude 7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Sodom is a type of this world, the world we live in today. Sodom speaks of judgment to the woman and to the man who follows the lust of the flesh. But while telling us to remember Sodom, Jesus tells us that although the sins of that ill-famed city were bad enough, it is possible for people to commit a greater sin than what they did. Matthew chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 explains, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Christ says that this is the greater sin, that of rejecting the truth of God, than the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Friends, There is a time coming, and coming very soon, when the last Bible study will have been given. There is a time when church will be closed. There is a time coming when all those who are to be saved will have fled into the mountains for safety. Matthew 24, verse 16 says, "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." Just before the seven last plagues begin to fall, God's people must flee from the cities. Lot was told to go into the mountains. God does not want his people to lose out in entering the kingdom, so he gives this warning. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34 says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." Lot's children did this, and they were destroyed with Sodom. God wants us to come out, not only to come out from the defiling influence of the big cities, but from anything that will hinder us from entering into the glorious city, the New Jerusalem. Now I'm going to repeat Luke chapter 17, verses 28 and 29. "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, and they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." And continuing on now in verse 31, "In that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." Remember Lot's wife. Luke 17 and verse 32 says, "Remember Lot's wife." It is one of those most solemn warnings given in the Bible. Let me tell you about Mrs. Garcia. You see, Mrs. Garcia, her husband, and her children were members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in a town situated on the west coast of South America. The family operated a drapery store. And they were not wealthy, and they were not poor, just good, substantial church members. They had been Adventists for quite a while. They were waiting for Christ to come. One day, a group of radio artists in their town decided to broadcast a supposed invasion from another planet. The script was planned and practiced to perfection. One night, they transmitted the program. The townspeople listened for a few horrified moments to the realistic drama that poured out from their radios. Then they swarmed into the streets, frightened and hysterical. The Garcias had finished a busy day and were sitting in their lounge in the quiet evening. The radio was on. They, too, listened in shocked amazement. Suddenly, Mrs. Garcia jumped to her feet and cried, "Why, Christ is coming!" She believed it. She was positive of it. They quickly decided to run to the church and wait for Jesus there. Mr. Garcia grabbed two of the children and rushed out the door. Mrs. Garcia hurried along behind. After several blocks, Mr. Garcia suddenly realized that his wife wasn't following. He turned in time to see her running back toward the store. He shouted. She did not hear. He turned and hurried back after her. As he burst through the door, he stopped in his tracks, his eyes bulging in disbelief at what he saw. Mrs. Garcia was filling her pockets with money from the till and grabbing some of the best rolls of cloth to take with her. "Mother, what are you doing?" he gasped. Looked up, confused and breathless, she said, "Why, we can't leave these things behind." Let us always remember Lot's wife. Friends, remember the words of Jesus. "In that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." Let us always remember Lot's wife. Yes, we need to do just that. We who are living in these last days should give heed to the solemn warning of Sodom. May God help us to be ready and waiting. It is time to be prepared for what is coming upon this world. It is time to leave the world behind and follow Jesus all the way. It's found in His Word, friend. Let us pray and invite Jesus to be with us. Heavenly Father, thank You for revealing to us the truth of Your Word. Grant to us the deep conviction to leave the enticements of this world behind and to walk with You anew this day forward. We realize that lives of individuals recorded in the Bible were for our example. We praise You for being that beacon of light which guides us home. This we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.